the show itself is not really salacious. It's not over the top. It's not mm-hmm. explicit. It's dealing with more emotional drama than anything over the top. But I've had people that who will not follow the channel, who will not speak publicly about it because it's so taboo. And if they were, I've been told that if it was a couple that was just cheating, it'd be a whole other different story. They'd be sharing and talking right. about it. But because it's this woman who wants to be non-monogamous, it's, we can't do that. It's really interesting yeah. where you could share about serial killers. You watch Dexter, people pulling out people's spines from their backs, but something that deals with the complexity or a different way of being in relationships is so taboo and controversial.
Welcome to the Multi-Amory Podcast. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
We believe in looking to the future of relationships, not maintaining the status quo of the past.
So whether you're monogamous, polyamorous, swinging, casually dating, or if you just do relationships differently, we see you and we're here for you.
On this episode of the Multi-Amory Podcast, we're talking to the cast and creator of the web series Compersion. It has been 4 years since we last had Miss Jackie Stone, the writer, producer, director, and creator of Compersion on our show, and we're so excited to have you back for season two to talk about that. And today we're joined by several cast members. We're going to talk about how the second season finally came to be, what was involved in bringing this second season to life, as well as what's changed in the 4 years since this show was first being created, how polyamory and diversity in media has continued to evolve, and what we can expect for these characters and for the Compersion story in the future. So welcome. Thank you all for being here.
Yay.
Thank you for having us.
I would love to just kind of get a brief introduction from everyone because we're doing this like big roundtable discussion. And this is the first time that we've had seven people at once, like speaking on the show. It's really incredible. Did I count that right?
No, we're eight
people. You're yes. right. It's eight of us. Wow. Goodness. Yeah. So I would love it if everybody could introduce themselves, please, and maybe say who you play on the show as well or what you do on the show.
My name is Jackie J. Stone, and I'm the writer, director, producer, tap dancer, editor, one-time sound recordist of Compersion. And I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. We're glad to have you back.
Hi, y'all. I'm Jamie Patton. I play Kina on the series Compersion. Sometimes I've done hair and makeup. Most times. Costume. And yeah, thank you for having me on your show. And it's so good to see all your faces. I miss you guys.
Oh, I miss you too.
Hi, I'm Derek Lamont. I play Josh. Thanks for having me.
I'll follow that up with I'm Lauren Lillian, and I play Sophia. And yes, I'm very happy to be here.
Karamu Kush, I play Colt and try and do what Jackie tells me to do.
That's
I like that. Seems like good words of wisdom to live by.
Absolutely.
We definitely have a lot of listeners in our audience who are really familiar with Compersion Season 1. I know at the time that it came out, people were and still are just clearly so desperate for any kind of representation about non-monogamy, polyamory, the reality, the struggles in our media. And I was wondering if, Jackie, you could kind of catch our audience up to speed, give a little bit of background on the show initially, how it initially came to be, and then we can talk a little bit more about what happened in the first season.
Okay, so Compersion is basically a family drama that follows a couple who've been married for 15 years as they transition from a monogamous marriage to a polyamorous relationship. The story came to be because many, 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 many moons ago, I met someone who was in a polyamorous marriage. And at this time, polyamory did not have such a big voice. It was really, really undercover. And I had never heard of it. And I was really fascinated that him and his wife had this relationship where they were committed to their marriage, but they also had other love relationships. And as a writer, I was like, oh, this would be a great family drama. Because what really interested me about, you know, exploring polyamory is like, what happens when the heart can't be contained, where it's just not some sort of physical one night stand, but you really have to deal with your partner or partners being in relationships with other people. And I looked to my own like family and I was like, what would it be like if my uncle or my dad or my cousin was faced with their wife or their partner coming to them and saying, I don't want to be monogamous anymore. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to deal with the journey to compersion, which is not going to be overnight for my characters, and what those very human struggles looked like for a couple who, you know, somewhat quote unquote traditional couple that was transitioning their relationship while still keeping their family intact.
I'm curious to hear from the actors as well about, you know, I don't know. I know that kind of people individually tend to have a wide variety of experience with like non-monogamy or non-traditional relationships. You know, some people are very, very intimately familiar with it and some people not at all. And so I'm curious to hear from the actors, whoever it is that wants to talk about this, about your impressions when first getting involved with this project and with the subject matter.
This is Jamie playing Kina. One thing I had to deal with was my own judgment. And a lot of my family's judgment. And again, Jackie, we had this conversation plenty times. You know, I knew of polyamory, but I wasn't, you know, well-versed in, you know, the etiquettes and, you know, the verbs. And I just didn't know. I knew of it, but I wasn't educated. Anyway, the hard part for me was not only just my own judgment, but my fellow actors, other creatives, who seemed to be judging my choice in taking on this project. Like, I have people in my life that I respect wholeheartedly as creatives, and they just won't comment on it. They'll watch it, but they won't comment on it. And it's so interesting that how the lines get blurred. It's like, I've played a murderer, I've played a hooker, but all of a sudden, there's this reservation when I'm playing a woman who's married that wants a boyfriend, too. It's really interesting. Yeah, so that's been my struggle.
That's something we ran into, especially in the early days of this podcast, too, of people who might listen to it and really enjoy it, but won't share it, won't post about it. And it's, it's like a sort of a threateningness to it that I think freaks a lot of people out.
Absolutely.
There have been people who have told me if it was because the show itself is not really salacious. It's not over the top. It's not explicit. It's dealing with more emotional drama than anything over the top. But I've had people that who will not follow the channel, who will not speak publicly about it because it's so taboo. And if they were, I've been told that if it was a couple that was just cheating, it'd be a whole other different story. They'd be sharing and talking about it. But because it's this woman who wants to be non-monogamous, it's, we can't do that. It's really interesting where you could share about serial killers. You watch Dexter, people pulling out people's spines from their backs, but something that deals with the complexity or a different way of being in relationships is so taboo and controversial.
This was an interesting project when it came to me, because reading the script, usually once I read a script, I go into researching and finding out about, but because of my character, didn't know anything about polyamory. And I myself didn't know anything about polyamory. I had never heard of it. Actually, when Jackie was telling me the name of it, I was like, compersion? You sure you want to name it that? I was like, and so I knew nothing about it. And going into the first season, I knew nothing about it because I didn't want to make my character sympathetic to it when in fact he wasn't. So I didn't want to taint the performance. Since then, I think I'm going along the pace of the character because I'm really scared to like dive into it. I mean, we've attended a couple of events and things. And so we've been around it. I've been around it a little bit more and I understand it. But I haven't gone too much farther into it because Josh hasn't gone that far into it. So it's a weird thing. And that's why it's one of the more challenging roles that I've actually had in that aspect.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, to kind of have to be keeping yourself a little bit in the dark quite intentionally.
Yeah. But it worked. It's been really helpful to do that.
Yeah. Has being on a show about polyamorous people, has it changed anyone's perception about polyamory in general? Because it sounds like, Jamie, you maybe dove a little bit more into like learning about it. But maybe Kai, I'm interested also in hearing from you, like overall, is there a sense of, wow, polyamory was this one thing that I thought and now it's something different, or where has your journey been regarding that?
I've always kind of worked in that space without the label, you know? So it was, I think Jackie was typecasting when she...
I was just going to say, she did a good job of picking each of you.
Yeah, very good. Very.
But yeah, I'm really happy to see that we're dealing with these alternative styles of relating in drama, you know, in film and TV projects. I think it's long overdue.
Yeah. And Lauren, I'm like really interested to kind of see where your character goes because you are more of this traditional in the first season. Like, I am a woman who is having an affair with a married man and that, you know, doesn't really delve into ethical non-monogamy at all. So I wonder how was it portraying a character that was like simply, as you said in the show, like a mistress?
Oh, I related. So it was really emotional, but in a good way. I think what was more interesting for me as an actor was to hear all the responses from the audience on how I was crazy. And I was like, really?
Jeez. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that?
It was a little bit like, I think Sophia is a strong character and
definitely.
A strong woman. And so she's really, really fun to play and a good time. But yeah, I was just sort of like, tell me where she's wrong. Like, explain. So it just was a little shocking, but in a good way, I think, because I also do like as an actor when I get to push the audience's buttons, that makes me very happy. So I'm very happy about it.
What's interesting, Lauren, is the people that had a negative reaction to you were largely polyamorous. And those are the same people who had a negative reaction to Derek were largely polyamorous, and they had a positive reaction to Kina. And monogamous people, it was the reverse. So you had some cheerleaders, but largely the polyamorous community, they were hating on Sophia.
But here's the thing. Honesty is important in all relationships.
Absolutely.
So once you take honesty away, I think, you know, look, whatever you practice, like, just be honest.
Mm-hmm. I think something that really struck me about this show in the first season and seems to be continuing in the second season is that some of the only other content out there that deals with polyamory or, you know, ethical non-monogamy specifically, like that's the focus of the show, either tends to be very sensational and like, let's look at how much kinky sex they're having and like, oh, wow, look, the three of them take showers. Wow. Or it's in this kind of, I'm going to, you know, sort of criticize my own community here, but like kind of preachy of like, oh, this is so great. And like, look at how great it is. And what really struck me about this show is it's not either of those things. And I think part of that is because, Jackie, you did such a good job of writing this story that has these sympathetic characters, that has realistic characters, but you weren't coming from a place of like, I want to teach the world about how polyamory is great. Like you yourself were also exploring it and the fact that for the actors, there's kind of a similar thing going on. I think that is something really unique, and I don't think exists anywhere else in the world of media representations of polyamory.
Thank you for that. I mean, I always say that with this story, I'm not trying to do any sort of representation of polyamory as a whole. I'm showing these two people and their journey. And as the story expands, it will be about other individuals' journeys or experience. It's never a blanket statement about polyamory. That's not the goal. It's to have a very human experience and journey through these characters, for me, is why I wrote it. And sometimes we get pushback from polyamorous people. Like, this is not a positive representation. This is not compersion. I'm like, not yet. But, you know.
Yeah. It's like two months into their journey? Like, no. Correct. It's not yet. Yeah.
You know, and then wanting to make sure that journey, when they get to compersion and for however long they stay at that point, is well earned. And, you know, that's what's interesting for me as a writer to explore the challenges. So when you arrive there, it's like, you know what? You sure do deserve this. And now let's complicate it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Yeah,
it's a family drama.
It is. It must be interesting because you and a lot of the actors have talked about, you know, again, kind of getting this weird mixture of responses of, of course, there's, you know, certain parts of the audience that are really rooting for particular characters or rooting for different characters. And there's different, you know, parts of the audience feedback that has a lot of backlash about either this is not a good enough representation of polyamory, or about why are you representing polyamory at all? Or why is this person doing this? And I guess I'm kind of wondering, like, that experience of it being like such a charged topic matter that it sometimes feels like no one's going to be happy with how it's covered.
I had an acting teacher once say, and I think this is in direct parallel what's going on with compersion. He used to say, the interesting part is not seeing you cry. It's seeing you struggle against crying.
Totally.
Seeing you trying to, just seeing that conflict of, I need to get this out, but. And that's the same thing with compersion. No, it's boring to see compersion, but to see the journey to compersion is what. And I was joking with Jackie, saying that's what you need to change the title to, is the journey to, you know, alleviate all this pain that people were feeling about not seeing compersion. Turn the title to Journey to Compersion. Mm-hmm. But that's much more interesting to see the conflict and the journey than to see it wrapped up in a pretty rainbow.
It is. I was thinking about the time when I'm telling people about the first season, and you know, I explain, you know, oh, I play a guy whose wife wants to see another guy, and the first thing they go, well, what do you guys do? I said, well, we're figuring it out, you know. They're so in a hurry to get to the end of it, to get to, like, how does it happen, what happens at the end, like, no, like. And I like this about the series, is that it does take the time to actually march through those woes, those happy moments, those experiences that get you to the end of any relationship, but with this one in particular. So it's really fun in that aspect.
I'm curious. I know that something that I've known has happened in my own personal experience, and that I've heard from other people, you know, people who are more out about being non-monogamous or more willing to talk about their open relationship or open marriage. Sometimes it has an interesting effect on people where, like, if you talk about being in an open marriage or playing someone who's in an open marriage, that for some people, it's like, that's the seed of being able to divulge, oh my God, I had this really weird threesome this one time, and like, and I don't really know how to feel about it. And I guess I was wondering, you know, in your guys' experience, you know, when you're talking to people, does that ever happen? Like, do you ever get that response of, like, people getting that seed of, oh my goodness, okay, it's safe to talk about this?
Hmm.
There was one time, I've only met one person outside of, like, being at a poly gathering, but I was at a game night. you know, and I was talking to this girl, and oh, you're an actor? Oh, yeah. I said, I'm just working on this show. I just finished a show called Compersion. You know, it's about polyamory. She was like, oh, I was poly. I was in a polyamorous relationship one time. And I was like, oh, for real? Let me know. Tell me.
It's good research for the show. Yeah.
I was like, she said that, you know, it didn't last long because the guy was kind of treating her like a girlfriend instead of like the lady he was with, you know, she got more attention or, you know, he seemed to be treating her as the number one. Mm-hmm. And I got some information of how it kind of how the relationship works just from her. And it was, I was thinking I had finished the first season and when I met her on that, but I was like, oh, okay. So that's the only person that have actually opened up, you know, and I've talked to a lot of people about it. I had a couple of people stop me in a grocery store because they recognized me from the show.
Oh, wow.
But oh, wow.
They wouldn't say if they were or not. They were like, oh, yeah, you're from that show. You know, and I was like, yeah. What show? It's like, you know, the wife with the... And I was like, oh, yeah, exactly, exactly.
So, that's amazing.
So it was really interesting, yeah.
So we're recording this episode of the podcast when one episode of Compersion season 2 has dropped. And I'm curious because it's been 4 years. I know at the time of the last recording of our podcast, when we had you on, Jackie, that you were doing an Indiegogo campaign. Mm-hmm. We were trying to get funding for season 2. And so, yeah, like, can you talk about that process? And like 4 years later, here we are. And also at the time, I remember you talking about how hot season 2 is going to be. And you did not disappoint. All y'all looked amazing. It was a great, yeah, it was a really great episode and very, very sexy and very, like, a lot of tension there. But yeah, like, what went into making season 2 a reality, finally, like, after all this time?
So we did have an Indiegogo campaign, and I was trying to raise $65,000. We did not raise nowhere near that. I think we raised maybe under 14, or 14, 14, 15, somewhere around that. It was such a laborious process. I hate fundraising with a deep passion, but I so appreciate all the people who contributed and helped make season 2. You know, when you don't have money, you could do things fast and quick if you have money and good, or it takes time if you don't have money to make it good. So, you know, we were able to, I think we did principal photography 2 years ago, I think. Was it two years ago?
Okay.
For the second season. And we had picked up the first episode before that, but the main principal photography for the second season was like 2 years ago, and we shot for 7 days. And we were able to get it done because my actors love me and they're willing to work for snacks.
They're all amazing.
And I had a great crew who, you know, worked for far below their rate. And then a lot of what took the longest process was the post-production, because I was the editor, the syncer in chief, and it just took so much time to go through, you know, probably like, I don't know how many hours of footage, but we had hours upon hours upon hours of footage. And I also have to work and do other things. So it was a longer process. But I'm very happy with what we got. Our first two episodes are shorter, but the last 4 or 5 episodes are about 18 to 20 something minutes in length.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow.
And I'm really like you saw, we kind of pick up kind of where we left off. We're going to do a little bit of a time jump for third episode, but it's still all in line. It's still, you know, it's not 5 years ahead of time. It might be, you know, a few months down the road. But there's some great growth that happens in that small time jump. Yeah, but it's a labor of love. It's something that, you know, I have seasons upon seasons in my head that I hope to be able to do. I love working with these four. folks in front of you. And, you know, they're all back. So, you know, there's things happening with all the loves. But yeah, it was a hard process. It's not easy. Like the way that we shoot professionally. You know, we're not shooting on iPhones with a lamp. You know, we have a crew and, you know, camera gorgeous, people and lights and sound. And, you know, we rent locations. I have to do production design. So, yeah, it's a labor of love. And it, you know, that's why it took 4 years, because I'm not independently wealthy.
Yeah.
Not yet, anyway.
Not yet. Yes. Exactly. Not yet. It's coming. Come on, checks.
Yes.
So, because this has been a process, you know, I'm wondering the media landscape that you were producing into 4 years ago versus like 2 years ago when you were doing principal photography for season two versus now, when you're releasing, like, what have been the things that you've noticed of the things that have changed over that time, especially in regards to like how people respond to this subject?
I would say that there are what I've noticed, like there are more Facebook groups, there are more social media platforms. There are more people who are vocal and will say, "I'm poly and proud" out loud. I still think in regards to compersion, like publicly, there's more happening in private groups about compersion than there is on the YouTube page. So there's still that amount of, you know, protectiveness about relationship status and not wanting to be outside of a protected group, be associated with it, which is still interesting. But I would say, like, over the course of when I first did it to now, it's such an explosive, somewhat saturated experience of polyamory.
For the cast, has your experience changed over these last 4 years in terms of, like, yeah, where you feel like the subject material kind of took you to now, like, having kind of that hindsight and just the landscape changing in general? Or your, like, people watching it, is, have they watched it and said, "Oh, now I'm like, this is easier to watch because it's more of like a known quantity out in the world, polyamory is"?
Well, can I say that when, just to be totally candid, when I first started this series with Jackie, this journey, I was in a very, very, very serious relationship with a man. Fast forward 8 years later, I'm in a very, very, very serious relationship with a woman.
Wow. Yeah.
Out. And there was a point in my life where I never thought I'd be out, but a little bit attributing to this journey has made me more accepting of myself and more accepting of being outside the box. And not seeing so much as categories. You know, we get so PC. And there's a line that Jackie wrote in, I think it's the date night episode, where Colt is talking about his aunt and how his aunt's love is not a mother's love. And Kina says, "Love is love." And that resonates so fully for me now, having taken this journey. And just everything that I've been through since 2012 until now is just really, so yeah, it's been a cosmic journey. It's been very synergistic. It's been very revealing, and I'm thirsty for more. I feel like I'm a very much a kindergartner when it comes to polyamory and knowing what polyamory is. You can know all the terms and the etiquette, but not really know what it is to experience compersion, to really be happy that your lover is happy, you know? So, yeah, it's been a journey. I'm looking forward to more.
Wow.
Lovely.
That's Jackie. Wonderful.
That's so beautiful, Jamie.
So get to writing, girl. Get to pitching.
Listen, I'm trying. One woman over here. I just need to get that cash. We'll be rolling. Yeah. Come on, Netflix, yes. HBO. We'll have a grand old time.
Yes.
Yep.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere. This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
For a long time now, we've been fans of AdamandEve.com for getting sex toys or lingerie or accessories, things like that. It's just a fantastic resource with a huge selection. And now, not only do we have a fantastic offer, but we also have a promo code that will work on AdamMale.com and EvesToys.com, which are their sites specifically for LGBTQ audiences. And our code is fantastic. It's 50% off of almost any item in the store and free discreet shipping when you use our code MULTI.
Yes, we love AdamAndEve.com and have for years. They are our oldest and longest sponsor, and they just keep on giving great gifts to us and to our listeners. You can bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom by going to AdamAndEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com and select any one item. It can be, you know, an adventurous new toy or anything you desire, something fun, something sexy, whatever sounds good.
So just enter offer code MULTI at checkout and you'll get 50% off almost any item plus free shipping. That's MULTI, MULTI at AdamAndEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com. This is an exclusive offer that is specific to this podcast and it's better than any offer that is currently available on their site. So again, use code MULTI to get you not just the 50% discount, but also the 100% free shipping. Code MULTI.
All right, so I wanted to talk a little bit about the actual show itself. And I don't want to, you know, have any spoilers or anything. Although, listen, the first season's been out for like 4 years. So if it gets like a tiny bit spoiled, it's kind of your own fault. But everyone go out there and watch that first season so you don't have to worry about this. But something that really struck me in the second season, in this first episode, because that's the only one we've seen at the point that we're recording this, is that Ka, your character, Colt, he has always been so kind of so chill, so sort of aloof and unaffected by things. And I felt like at the beginning of season two is the first time we're kind of seeing how, when we watch the stuff in the first season go down with Josh and Kina, where, you know, they're, I'm like, how do I say this without spoilers for people who haven't watched season one, but I don't, maybe it can't be avoided. Yeah. Jackie.
Did you hear Jackie?
Just say it. Okay. It's too late. It's been out for 17 years.
All right. Deal with it, people.
So there's this just like horribly painful scene to watch in the first season, but it's so true, which is why I love it. When Josh makes Kina break up with Colt over the phone in front of him. And it's so painful because it's a shitty thing to do, but it is a real thing that happens. You know, that's absolutely a thing that we've heard people talk about, that kind of thing happening in their relationships. If not exactly like that on the phone in front of me, but that feeling of kind of being forced to break up with a relationship, not because of that relationship not working out, but because of this extra force outside of that relationship, usually that kind of primary partner, the husband or the wife or something like that, and how we got to see how painful that was from their point of view. We didn't really see so much what was happening with Colt during that time. And I feel like right at the start of season two, we kind of got our first hints of, yeah, this is a bigger world. This affects more than just our two people in this main couple, that his character was also affected. And I was just curious to hear from you, Ka, like what that was like getting to have that moment for your character.
Well, I think you all are speaking to it. And I think Jamie spoke to it earlier as well in talking about how it's not just about sex, you know, in fact, this has nothing to do with sex when you really get right down to it. You know, so I mean, I don't know. I could really be in that space, honestly, with Colt and with what was going on, because I mean, it was a horrible thing. It was a horrible feeling to be having someone torn away from you for reasons outside of you all working. You know, I mean, it was a beautiful piece of conflict that Jackie had created that was it was relatable.
And your performance, all of your performances were so relatable. I kept sitting there and saying, hey, this in some way or another has happened to so many people that I know, like little moments of what all of you went through. And Lauren, like, too, also sitting there and knowing, shit, this woman had no idea what was going on. We don't even see her dealing with the fact that polyamory was a thing that these two people were interested in, and that a real relationship with you could have happened. And I can't wait to hopefully see you back again in season two and see like where that takes you. But yeah, exactly. So yeah, it was just all of you, like your performances were so well done and so
yeah,
relatable.
Absolutely.
It was awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think there is something interesting. I don't know if this was intentional on your part, Jackie, in writing this, but it's almost kind of like with these four characters, we get these archetypes that serve as touch points to a lot of the non-monogamous experience for a lot of people. I mean, because if I even think about my own life, like I've had experiences where, you know, I've been the person realizing, oh my God, this person that I'm sleeping with, their partner has no idea that I'm in the picture. I've been the one, you know, like Josh's character, where it's like, I don't even know what's going on. I wasn't totally expecting this. I need to learn about this. You know, I've been in like Kina's shoes of being the one, actually, I'm kind of driving this and this is something I'm interested in. And also Ka's position of like, things are happening outside of my control and influencing my relationship. And so, you know, I guess I say that more to continue to make the pitch for all the listeners out there that there's this interesting representation of just like so many different ways that this can show up and manifest for people, sometimes all at the same time or within the same person. I also wanted to talk a little bit about something that we haven't quite touched on quite yet, but the fact that there's kids involved in this story. Mm. You know, it's not just about this, like, you know, young couple in their 20s having a grand old time experimenting with this. But like you said, Jackie, it's really important to keep it as this family drama. And knowing that this is also a hot button issue for a lot of people in general, of when you talk about non-monogamy or open marriages, it's always like, oh my God, but what about the kids? And so I wanted to open up that topic for everybody as well, because that adds kind of another layer of complication in this storytelling.
Yeah, absolutely. When I was thinking about the story, I was like, of course they have kids. They've been married for 15 years. I didn't want... Not to say that if you are in your 20s and you don't have any children and you're engaged in a non-monogamous relationship, that you don't have things at stake, that you're, you know, that there's not your heart at stake or whatever that may be. But I really wanted to make sure that there were a few things at stake in this relationship. And by them being a family, a traditional, you know, church going family that have been traditional their whole marriage, and that the fact that they have children, that they just can't say, we're quitting. If you want to do this, I'm out of here. I didn't want any easy outs. I wanted them to have to deal with the situation at hand, you know, and, you know, the children are going to come into play when their family finds out that they're non-monogamous. That's a whole other, you know, exploration as well. It's really about a family like this. It's a family drama. It's not just about hot sex. It's about emotions. It's about complications. There will be hot sex, though.
Give the people what they want.
You know, like, but it has to be earned, you know, like, especially the, you know, outside of Kina and Josh's primary relationship, to show that on screen, it has to be earned. But yeah, like, kids are definitely, you know, very important. Even in the first season, you have Josh's parents that play a role. Hopefully, if we continue more seasons, you will see Kina's family play a role and Sophia's family play a role, and how all these things converge on each other, you know.
Now, it seems like, I mean, reactions from the cast where some people were like, what, is there hot sex? And some people be like, yeah, totally. Now I just have so many questions.
Oh, there's going to be hot sex.
I just wanted to reiterate, the couple that stopped me in the grocery store, had their daughter with them.
Oh.
So that could have been like the show, you know, with the couple and the
thing.
Possible, yeah.
But yeah.
And there's plenty of polyamorous people who have children. You know, it's not thing for 20-year-olds. There are 40, 30, 50, 60-year-olds with grandchildren who have had, you know, polyamorous relationships. So, you know, it's really wanting to explore it in a different manner. Because even when I first came up with the idea to do compersion, like you said, there was always, it was things that were like, oh, this is fluff and we're just having threesomes. And it was never really dealing with the emotional component of having multiple relationships, love relationships at the same time.
Yeah. So I'm remembering the last time that we had you on the show, Jackie, you know, we were talking a lot about diversity and storytelling and, you know, talking about the fact that, like, for a long time, the polyamorous community, as far as representation goes, has had problems with having enough representation of, like, non-white people practicing polyamory. And of course, that echoes and mirrors everything that's going on in the bigger, you know, media community as a whole, you know, particularly with Hollywood only in the last, you know, 6 months or so kind of finally being more vocal about there being like general representation issues. And I guess I wanted to hear from all of you about how that shift has felt over the course of the last 4 to 8 years, or, you know, however long kind of the arc of this project has been.
Well, I like to say thank goodness for social media. Thank goodness for the internet, because we're getting a more dynamic, a more full representation of who people are in general. We're not just getting Hollywood. We're not just getting the news. We're not just getting, you know, I mean, it's still very much two-dimensional, but thank goodness, you know, we're getting more varied views. I want to say that really 2020, and it's not anything new, 2020 has been the age of things coming to light. You know, what's done in the dark is going to come to light. We're seeing things that we haven't seen before, thank goodness. And it's making us more empathetic, especially with COVID. We're more empathetic and more realizing that we're all connected. We're all one. You know, I judge myself. One conversation, I remember going to a cousin's, this is 2 years ago, I went to a cousin's repast in Ohio. I'm from Youngstown, Ohio, very insulated, very stuck in, you know, old times. Grew up in a very Baptist Black household. A cousin of mine, who's like an aunt, she's older, was saying about her daughter. Her daughter recently came out of the closet. And she was saying, yeah, I was visiting, you know, her and her wife, and I'm fine with it. But what do you say to the kids? What do you say to your kids when the one mommy is coming out the other mommy's room? And in that moment, I was so offended as a woman who's in a serious relationship with another woman. Like, how dare you compare my intimacy and say that this is not okay just because of our physical attributes? But I realized polyamorous people are going through the same thing. You're judging based on your socialization, based on your conditioning. And it's so unfortunate. If we can just get rid of all these labels, and I appreciate that what you were saying, Ka, earlier, is that you really don't get into the labels and the rules and the, you know, the dogma of it. It just is. If we can just get to being just is, without all the labels, without all the blue and the red and Republican and, Democrat. Just get rid of it and just be good people.
I think it's important to note that, personally, and I'm really aware of this, I work with a different kind of privilege than you do, right? Because ain't nobody confronting me about how I relate, ever. Nobody. Woman, man, elder, younger, nobody, right? My mama wouldn't be, and she's passed away now, but even when she was here, I mean, I think it's probably in part the reason why I am the way I am, but my mother never questioned me. And that's crazy to hear from about a child saying about his parents, but my mom never questioned me. So I've always walked through the world with a sense of, yeah, and what about it? You know?
That's very freeing.
But I mean, yes, it is very freeing. It's the reason why I'm supportive of people like Jackie or even you who are doing these explorative exercises or digging deep and forcing people to deal with the difference, because the difference is as normal as what is considered so-called normal, you know, and I'm a warrior for that shit personally. So
I appreciate you being a warrior for that. You give the rest of us courage.
Hey, I mean, even the question about the kids, it's like you were speaking to us, it's the conditioning. Quiz is kept. The kids are good. The kids are all right. Yeah. You know, for like the, and it's a movie, the kids are all right. Yeah. I'm saying the kids are all right. You know, if anything, I worry about what that parent is doing with that kid's mind and what kind of limitations are being imposed on that kid. You know, that's what I worry about. And I mean, being a professor, I see, I mean, you know, because you went to Howard. I teach at Howard. I see it in the classroom every day where I feel like, wow, I talk to my kids and I'm like, yo, y'all sound older than me, but I'm not mad at you because I know that's your mama talking or that's your daddy talking. But are you aware of that being your mother or your father talking and how that may limit your artistry? Right. I'm also on a mission to change the world into artists. Everybody in the world needs to be an artist of some sort. So anyway.
Love that.
All for it. That's for it. Yeah. Lauren, you were going to jump in.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, you know, I was introduced to polyamory early on. I remember being shocked when I just through a friend group and someone, I was like, oh, this happens. But, you know, I think since then, and I actually worked on another script, workshopped a script that playing a polyamorous character, which I'm not quite here, I don't think. But well, you have to watch to figure out what the hell I am. But my point is, I feel like through the years, and I think it's part of maybe the circles that I roll in, artists, it just now becomes very, and I think it's important to just be open, like the more open you are and comfortable you are. Like for me, it's just, it's become very much normalized to see people in different sorts of relationships. And it's just whatever floats your boat. And it's, yeah, so it's a very beautiful thing. You can find love wherever you find it, however you find it.
I don't know if it's to this topic, but there's one thing that I kind of pulled from being introduced to polyamory through working on this, is that the idea of jealousy, which was a really interesting thing. I mean, I haven't done a lot of, but from what I gathered, the aspect of jealousy, and it caused me to examine the concept of jealousy and what leads one to that. And I have been able to grab a hold to those emotions that run wild when things click in, you know, when that sense of jealousy kind of creep in, I'm able to now like process it and go, okay, why am I? And then figure out those triggers and work on myself about that sense of spark or that reaction that I have when things make me feel a certain way and I consider it jealousy. So that's been a really great thing for me in working on this.
So it sounds like this project has helped you become enlightened, is what you're saying, Derek.
No, seriously, yeah. It has. You know, because you know that aspect of jealousy in any kind of relationship doesn't do any good. You know, because it usually doesn't really spark a real conversation. It just creates reactions that turns into other reactions that doesn't really accomplish anything. You know, so that's been a very, very cool thing that I've taken from working on this project. So,
and you know, for me, like when I started writing and directing, my goal was to create more roles for women of the African diaspora that, you know, really kind of reflected the diverse amount of experiences that we have. And, you know, I also like to provoke thought and to make people think about things that they don't think about, or challenge them to think about things in new ways. So I tend to tackle what some might consider quote unquote controversial subject matter, but with Black faces and Black experiences that I think oftentimes we are left out. And like Jamie said, I think it's amazing that we have all these different means of distribution where we can tell stories that are not in the mainstream, and we don't have to wait for someone to give us permission to tell the stories or to show the characters that we are aching to see.
I think that right there is just one of the most beautiful things about the internet, I think, is that just that we don't have to wait for someone's permission to put something out there. That's really cool.
But in the same breath, it is hard. It's hard to create shows like this. I know Jackie has struggled, and we have all, you know, she's so beyond talented. Yeah. And it's just all a moment of time before. Thank you. I'll take it. No, but aren't we all? No, but it's just a matter of time before she's going to get snatched up. But it feels like the networks industry are looking for voices and other stories and diversity. And for me, from the people I know that are extremely talented, AKA Jackie, who we have in front of us, who you know her work, it's still not happening fast enough for me. It's not happening fast enough. And it still pisses me off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it does sound like you're saying that we're all getting in on the ground floor with Jackie Stone. And then that's how we'll all be millionaires that
we're getting in. It's kind of
like the multi-level marketing sort of.
Yeah, but she should have a deal. She should have a show. She should be directing, and we should all be names.
Agreed.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
They're all very, I mean, I'm sorry, Jamie, to cut you off, but just very briefly, the talent, like all these people that have decided to lend their creativity to Compersion, Karamu, Jamie, Lauren, Derek, they're all well-trained actors. Mm-hmm. They're all SAG actors. They've had years of experience. They have feature films. They have television show credits. They're just very talented. And it's very humbling when you get to work with actors that can take nuanced material and make it their own and bring their own thing to it and come to me and say, you know, I don't think my character would say this or do this, Josh, Derek, or Jamie, or, you know, like really pushing me also creatively and being vulnerable, because a lot of the work that we're doing in Compersion, you have to have a huge degree of vulnerability and trust. And it's just really great to have a team. These are like my team members that really will go there with me, because you guys are all amazingly talented, and thank you for working for Cracker Jacks.
Oh, that's how the sausage is made. I see.
Lauren, you were saying something. I cut somebody off. I can't remember. Jamie.
Girl, I don't know. I was going to big you up about something, but whatever. It's Thank you for bringing us all together, Jackie.
We wanted to ask all of you just kind of a big open question here at the end. And that is, what are your hopes for the future? And you can take that as you will. It could be just about Compersion. It could be bigger than that. It could be for yourself, whatever it is. So just whoever wants to go, and I'd love to hear from each of you.
Well, my hopes for the future, especially for Compersion, is I hope it will get picked up on a platform that will allow it to actually be what it is and not try to, you know, shape it and make it nice and make it, you know, allow it to actually, you know, fulfill its destiny. Because it is a show that, you know, not only polyamory people can look at and kind of, you know, relate to, but I think as I realize from being on the show is that it has points and principles and things that anybody can pull from. So I'm praying that this will go in that direction.
What I will for Compersion is that the right people will see it and pick it up and replace Wanderlust, who probably bit off of Jackie's story. No, I'm kidding. I hope I will that compersion has legs. For the big picture, I hope that we can get outside of our boxes. And I don't mean that just in as far as romantic relationships, but just in general. You know, I grew up living in several different families. I have 5 different mothers, 3 different fathers, and I'm very blessed to have had that. If we can just get outside our boxes as humans, I think we'll be better off. That's the big picture. My big picture hope.
I second what those two said. I really do hope compersion falls into the right hands and is not manipulated, but stays pure in what it is. And I hope that there are more shows like that, more outlets of showing A, diverse people, and B, different sort of experiences. And I hope I get to play more beautifully character-driven roles such as that, and that we all do. Sometimes it's really frustrating to see the lack of it, and you know, so I just, yeah.
On a macro level, for the future, I'm hoping for a major healing of the globe during this pandemic. I just want people to have access to vaccines.
I just pray and trust that that the work that's been invested, that continues to be invested by Jackie, receives its just due, and that we get to do work that we enjoy and that connects with people, inspires people, dig deeper, and dialogue like this. This is beautiful, a beautiful platform to have these kind of discussions and more. So,
on a macro level, for the future, I'm hoping for a major healing of the globe during this pandemic. I just want people to have access to vaccination and healthcare and a healing. And I want to be able to see my godson that Lauren gave birth to a year ago on a regular basis. I want to be able to see my friends and connect again. I want Black people not to be murdered in the streets just for being Black. That's what I wish for the future on a macro level. On a more personal level, I would love to be developing compersion for HBO or Netflix or Showtime or what have you. I would love to be able to collaborate more with my actors and for them to receive cast with them, because I don't want to cast anyone else. So, and then to receive their just due. I want to continue to create and be able to make a living creating and building relationships. And, you know, like Karamu said, continuing to create dialogue and continue to create stories that push people to think differently, to go outside their boxes and to have compassion and empathy for their fellow person.
Wonderful. That's a great note. That's a great note to end on. Yeah. So first, we want to hear from all the actors, from Ka, Derek, Lauren, Jamie. Can you talk to us about where people can find more of you, more of your work, if there's anything in particular right now that you're wanting to promote of your own work as well?
Caught me off guard. I recently took a break from social media, so I'm not on Instagram or Twitter, but I keep a Facebook account just to keep in touch with my older relatives. So you can find me /Jamie Patton on Facebook. And I'm working on my first feature. I've been working on it for forever. That I directed and wrote and acted in with my filmmaking partner, Crystal Cotton, also from Ohio. So look out for that. That's coming in the next few months. And look out for more compersion on Enchant TV on YouTube.
Lovely.
Crystal was also in an episode with Karamu. She played the flirt.
Yes, we're from the same town. Teacher's in pet. Ohio.
Oh, yes. Nice.
That's awesome.
This is Derek Lamont. I'm on all the platforms. Well, I'm not on all the platforms. Twitter.
Every single one.
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I don't know. But it's all under Derek Lemont, L-E-M-O-N-T. Derek with two R's, I-C-K. and yeah, I've done a couple of shorts in the last year or so. I don't know where they are. They don't tell me. But if they do come out, I'll be leaving the information on those platforms. And I've gotten into some writing. So I'm working on a series right now. So yeah, we're trying our hand at writing.
Can I butt in and say that Derek is a phenomenal writer. I've actually read two of his scripts, and he's an amazing writer and actor.
They're trying to get it out there. So, yeah, so that's where I'm at right now. Thank you, guys.
It's amazing.
I'll go next. I'm Lauren Lillian, and I am at Lauren Lillian on Instagram. And I am a new mom, so I've been focusing on that, but am prepping to shoot a feature film, which I'm really excited about because it also has the great saucy characters and stories. And so I can't really say too much about it, but it'll be good. And I've got projects of my own that I'm also working on. So just, you know, got to stay busy during these times when you are inside. But
amazing. And Khan?
Yeah, I have a very sporadic relationship with social media, but I do have a website, karamu.com, karamuu.com. And I teach, always teach. In fact, this Friday coming up, I'm going to be teaching a live open class on the Clubhouse platform.
I'm going to be
also hosting a discussion with Shaka King, the director of the film Judas and the Black Messiah. So it's going to Howard, it's going to be my Howard University.
Excuse me, Lauren Howard. Don't leave me
and
out.
Lauren.
I'm a bison. What is your mind blowing? Yes.
Lauren, you went to Howard?
Yes, I'm a bison.
We were in a play
through
together.
And through. That's
House
right.
House of Bernarda Alba.
Okay, focus. We're getting
rowdy. We got two bisons here. Again, I'm a professor at Howard University, and I'm be hosting my first open class on Clubhouse. And Shaka's going to come through and talk with the students and build the students a little bit. So we're doing that. And y'all can catch me online. So,
what do you teach at Howard?
I teach in the Department of Theater Arts, acting for TV and film.
Nice. Oh, yes. That's so great.
And also teaches Sundance, too.
Wow.
Great.
Oh, my goodness. And Jackie, are there more things that I need? Clearly, you're working a ton on compersion, but anything else that we can be excited about regarding you?
Let's see. Well, I'm working on a coming-of-age thriller called Imprint. I'm working on a a series that follows two sisters who have who work in a femdom dungeon called House of Dominique. I just finished directing two episodes of a new TV series called Johnson's that's going to be premiering in the summer on Bounce TV, and trying to survive homeschooling with my niece. Homeschooling is horrible. So those are the things that I'm working on. And I'm also working on getting fit again because COVID pounds are real. So I'm trying to get some muscle back. And people can follow me at, I have a website, JackieJStone.com. And then with Enchant TV on Instagram and Twitter at The Enchant TV, and also on Facebook.
And we hope that our listeners, so that one at least of you, will put the show into the right hands, give it to somebody at HBO or Netflix or someone, and be like, this clearly needs to go, you know, to infinity and beyond. But also, in the meantime, are there ways to continue to give to the show if, you know, we want to help fund future seasons?
Well, absolutely. I think at www.enchant.com. www.ksat.tv/donate. People can contribute there. Also, subscribing to the YouTube channel would be great. So we just know who's really interested in the programming and when we have a call to action. And also what I'm thinking for maybe the last two episodes, we might be selling those for maybe $2 or $3, the longer episodes.
Nice.
So people who really enjoy the show and want to see it move forward, it'd be great for them to a little pocket change.
Great.
In support of that.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you all so much. This was incredible. Our call to action this week for everybody on our Instagram is just, have you seen Compersion? I'm sure many of you had, but who are your favorite characters and what are your thoughts about the show? We would love to hear from you. So the best place to share your thoughts with other listeners is on this episode's discussion thread in our private Facebook group or Discord chat. You can get access to these groups and join our exclusive community by going to patreon.com/multiamory. In addition, you can share with us publicly on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Multiamory is created and produced by Jace Lindgren, Dedeker Winston, and me, Emily Matlack. Our episodes are edited by Mauricio Balvanera. Our social media wizard is Will McMillan. Our production assistants are Rachel Schenowork and Carson Collins. The theme song is Forms I Know I Did by Josh and Anand from the Fractal Cave EP, and the full transcript is available on this episode's page on multiamory.com.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.